All right, very exciting things going on. Excited to see what God's going to do here in this coming up celebration, just the holidays and all that's coming up. A lot of stuff going on, very exciting. If you have your Bibles, open them up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 13 and go all the way through verse 5 in chapter 3. And while you guys are finding your way there, I want to read just the first few verses. Don't worry if you're not there yet. We'll go back through them individually and then we'll pray and cover it in detail, but I want to lay a good foundation before we jump in today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which you were called by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, and I thank you, God, again for, God, the work you did in the first service, and I pray now, God, you would work among us in second service, that you'd pour out your Spirit on your people, God, that you'd open up your word to us, that you would be the teacher, and God, that you would build your church up. Lord, we live in very, very challenging days. And we need your wisdom, we need your grace, we need the power of your Holy Spirit. And so I pray you'd pour out that power now today, God, and not only teach us about standing fast, God, you'd give us the power to stand fast in the days in which we live. And so we give this time to you, God, and we open up our ears and our hearts to receive what you have for us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't think I need to tell you guys we live in very interesting days. And more than ever, we need to be able to stand fast. That's what today's main theme is about, is standing in the Lord and being able to make that stand. And if we don't learn the Word of God and prepare ourselves for what's coming ahead, we're not going to be able to stand when the time comes. You know, oftentimes, the reason that we fall, even in sin, and maybe some of you have experienced this, when you fell in sin, it's because you didn't prepare yourself in advance for the way to get out of it. Suddenly, it was upon you, it happened, and now what? Now the mess to clean up. If we prepare ourselves in advance, we can be ready. And that's what this is all about, standing and being ready when the storm comes. You know, it's interesting. We watched Hurricane Delta. Those of you that kept up with the hurricane or saw any of that coming in on the coast down there, probably you don't keep up with it, but you know what's happening because you see it in the news. And the bottom line is when the hurricane was coming, the headwinds came first. And that is, you knew the storm was coming, but the storm had not yet arrived. The headwinds had arrived. This is exactly what's happening in our day prophetically. The Bible has told us what's going to happen, and we're now feeling the headwinds of Hurricane Antichrist, if you will, blowing on the horizon. He's not here yet, but he's on the way. We need to be prepared. And we need to be standing now so that when the storm comes, we can do that. Can you imagine living in the days of hurricanes before we had satellites? I mean, you're there living on the beach, you're there at your home. All you know is there's a little bit of a wind blowing. You go to work, and the next thing you know, you're in some basement or some school gym. You know, all the storms going over, destroying your neighborhood or whatever. And you go back to hopefully find your home being there. Then suddenly satellites come along, and now you can see them. And not only do they see them, they name them. And we watch them come in. That is prophecy to the Bible. It is your spiritual satellite. It tells you what's going to happen, and it tells you, again, how it's going to happen. It doesn't always tell us the exact timing. But I'm telling you, we're living in the headwinds right now of the move of the Antichrist in our generation, I believe. And again, only God knows. Time will tell. But more than ever, we're going to need to be able to stand fast. Now, I shared some of this in first service, and I don't mean to come across in the sense of making anyone fearful. You above all people as believers should not be fearful. You need to rest in the Lord and know that before the true storm hits, God's going to remove his church out of here. Now, how much of the headwinds we'll have to face, I don't know. But before Hurricane Antichrist, if you want to follow that analogy, gets here, the Bible says the bride of Christ will be taken off of the earth and then we'll enter into that time. That's when it's really going to be bad. But we need to be prepared for it now. We need to be watching for it now. And we need to be able to stand. Listen, the days that are coming upon the earth, and if we truly are living in the last days, which I believe the prophetic signs are pointing to. Now, again, I know throughout history, people have said that. Jesus is coming. The prophetic signs are there. I realize that. The difference is Jesus could not come back in all those times when it looked like the Lord was coming back because Israel had not yet been established as a nation. The Bible very clearly says in the last days, Israel will be established as a nation And that starts the real time clock. We don't know what that time clock exactly is, but we know that that started a time clock for God to say, now I've got my process underway for the latter days to take place. And I believe we're in that process. And we need to be able to stand firm in the midst of that process. And by the way, just so you know, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, the days the Bible says are coming upon the earth, they're unparalleled to any in history to this point. Now, what do I mean by that? That sounds rather dramatic. But here's what I mean. There has never been a time in world history where God has turned the control, the complete control of the earth, over to Satan, except one time in world history. It's going to happen once, the Bible says. One time in world history, God will allow Satan and the Antichrist to literally have complete rule over the entire earth. That's never happened in world history. But Mark, what about Hitler? Certainly, no. Satan was very active, but God didn't turn everything over to Satan during that time. What about all these emperors in Rome when they were destroying all these Christians and millions of Jews and Christians and all these tortures they did? What about all these things? Listen, all of these are horribly atrocious things that mankind, along with the demonic realm, have carried out due to the fall of man throughout world history. But the Bible says in the last days, for the first time, and the last time, by the way, ever, because Jesus will rule and reign after that, God's going to say to Satan, it's all yours. Now, I don't want to be here for that. And the good news is, if you believe in Jesus Christ, I don't believe you will be. And I believe what we're experiencing now are the headwinds of the turning over of the world to Satan and the Antichrist. Again, the timing only God knows. But if there was ever a time we needed to stand fast, now is the time we need to stand fast. We're being challenged on every side in our country, within the church, without of the church. And the Bible says as we get into the last days again, the wind's going to begin to blow harder as the storm gets closer. Now, let me just say this. I know that when I say that, that worries some people. They say, you're not encouraging the body. Look, we can approach this one or two ways. One is I say nothing and everybody gets surprised. That's an approach. We could do that. But if I have the spiritual satellite that's showing me that the storm's on the way, it is my duty and my responsibility before God to say, guys, it's on the way, so you can be ready. You can batten down the spiritual hatches. It's on the way. I believe that. Now you've made us afraid. No, don't be afraid. Listen, all you're going to experience are the tropical winds. You're not going to experience the hurricane. Are you with me? That's what the Bible says. When the hurricane comes, so to speak, in this analogy, the Bible says we're taken out of here. And I don't know if you've ever been in a tropical storm or not. I have. I've never been in a hurricane. Some of you have been in a hurricane, probably, but I've never been in a tropical storm. I've been in a hurricane, but I've been in a tropical storm. That right there is pretty intense. I'm just watching, the trees, bend and all the things, just the sound of the wind. It's kind of like, wow, this hadn't happened in Tennessee type thing. I think we're going to experience a little bit of that. But you know what? I wasn't freaking out. I realized the building I was in would stand. I realized that everything would be fine. But I remember thinking, I wouldn't want to be here when a massive hurricane is. And so that needs to be our attitude. Not fear, not afraid. We're going to be okay in the spiritual tropical storm that's going to come before. And the Bible says we'll move into that into the last days. But the Lord said this, again, before the major storm hits, I'm yanking you out of here. And so we need to know that, again, all we need to be able to do is stand and trust the Lord. Now, why do I think some of this? First of all, there's many different prophetic signs that are pointing to that. But one of the things that the Bible says in the last days, and of course, any time that Satan is on the march and God is allowing the enemy to gain any type of upper hand, you're going to see persecution against Jews and against Christians. Things are beginning to happen in our nation that I never dreamed would happen. Have you watched what's going on in New York with the Jews and Mayor de Blasio? Listen, he's not only saying they can't gather and they can't do all their celebrations, they can't even gather in their homes. They're threatening arrest and all these other things about them. Look at what's going on with the Christians and Governor Newsom there in California, the governor there. He's shutting everything down, saying it's too dangerous to meet, when, by the way, the survival rate in California is 99.99%. That's the official statistic just released this past week. 99.49s. If you get it, that's your chance of living. That's pretty good. And yet he says no churches can meet. Nobody can gather. Why is this? There's something going on, guys, beyond a virus. Listen, I'm not saying the virus isn't real. I'm saying there's something going on in the spiritual realm. Satan is molding and shaping this world to get ready for this world leader. The storm is on the way. Listen, if this was all about COVID, they wouldn't allow any protests in the streets. They would shut it down. This isn't about a virus. There's something much larger. Now, the world's never going to understand this. We better. As believers, we need to have our spiritual glasses on and our eyes open. This world is being formed and shaped into conformity and control and getting ready for a world leader that's going to really bear down. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about, you know, just years ago, you think about why in the world would we need to take a mark on the hand of the forehead? The Bible talks about a mark on the hand of the forehead, the mark of the beast, so to speak. And why would we need that? They're already saying that once we get a vaccine and once all these new different things come along or whatever takes place or happens, we're going to have to be able to prove that we had the vaccine. We're going to have to be able to, there's going to have to be some kind of guidelines in the way the world works. How else can you do that? Of course, you could carry some kind of card or have something on your phone, but what if you don't have your phone or your card? See, what it's working toward is a way that everyone will be able to take the mark and be able to show who they are, what they've done, and what the result's going to be. It's happening, and it's happening again in many of the recent social movements where the world is being shaped and being formed, and this is going to be happening more and more, again, as we get into the last days. I think of some examples historically. The Roman Empire coming against the Jews and the Christians during that day. Pilate coming against the Jews to the point where he said, I was going to kill you all if you don't bow down to the icons of Rome. If you don't bow down to the icons of Rome, we're going to put you to death. And note what the Jews did. According to history, the Jews all, and there was a massive crowd of Jews there, they laid down and put their head on the ground saying, all right, cut our heads off. We're not bowing to the icons of Rome. Now again, they had rejected Christ and they were in the wrong place, but what an example of standing. We think about believers standing throughout history. Again, back during the days of Rome, the Christians, because they were pronouncing God's word and proclaiming God's word and standing against the sin of their day, the Bible says they picked up a nickname. Guess what their nickname was? Haters of men. Sound familiar? What do they call believers today if we call out sin? Haters of men. See, Satan knows what works, and Satan is repeating and using the same things that he's done throughout history. And again, we're seeing, as they say, history repeat itself as these things are taking place. So the bottom line is what my heart is that not that you're afraid, not that you're worried, that you trust in the Lord, that you have rest knowing that God's going to protect us, that we're not going to go through the great tribulation, but at the same time, that we learn to stand in the midst of all the things that are happening in our society today, because we've got to learn to stand so we're not blown away. Now, remember where we left off last week. Paul had said to them, look, the restrainer is in place. And as long as the restrainer is in place, things are going to go on generally the same. But once the restrainer is removed, everything's going to move toward this one world government. I believe we're at the very, possibly, again, only time will tell. This is Mark speaking. This is, the Bible doesn't tell us God's timing. But guys, the next few weeks and the next few months may tell us which way the world's going right now. Is God going to continue to restrain the move forward of the Antichrist, or is God going to say, let it go? Now, I want to encourage you either way, regardless of what happens. If God restrains, which I know we all want, you know, praise the Lord. The Antichrist can't come into power. We're going to have some more time, so to speak, right? But let's say that the floodgates just open and this moves rather rapidly here in the next month or two. Guys, we still rejoice. Here's why. What that means is God has started the process. And it's not going to be long until we hear that trumpet blast and we're out of here. And some generation has to go through that door opening. Some generation has to be the one that the restrainer is removed out of the way. Some generation has to see, again, the Antichrist come on the scene and the storm actually make it to land. I believe we're very possibly that generation. So Paul talked about that last week and now says, because of all this to the Thessalonians, and the Spirit would say to us today, look at verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification, by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this, he says right off the bat here, he's going to tell us how we're going to be sanctified, how we've been chosen, how we're going to be made like Christ. But notice when you were chosen here, he says from the beginning. And he says here, we're obligated because you were chosen from the beginning, we're obligated to give thanks for you. Here's what he's saying. Because you're the children of God and God chose you, I'm obligated to thank God for you, that you're my family. So I thank God for all of you. I thank you that you're my family. I praise God that you're my family. I love earthly family. Earthly family is great. But spiritual family and heavenly family is forever. Hopefully our earthly family is as well. But if it's not, then we have believers as family forever. And he says, look, I thank God for that. And the very fact that we have those around us that have been chosen by the Lord, it puts in our heart this obligation to thank God for that. And notice he says, because we're going to be obtaining the Lord's glory. He was thankful that they would be obtaining to the Lord's glory, that he would be obtaining to the Lord's glory. Now, what does it mean to obtain the Lord's glory? I don't know. I mean, Jesus alone will have his glory, don't get me wrong, but he's going to share in his glory with us. What's that going to be like? It's going to be amazing. It's no small thing. We know that Jesus has it, but he says, we're going to share in that. And since Paul says this has all been determined before time began, it brings up one of the main themes of the Bible, and that is predestination. And that is God chose us before the foundations of the earth. And so just rejoice in that. You've been chosen before the earth even began. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't have a choice in that process. I believe God and man work together in that. God preordestines or preordains. That's like a preordestined. I like that. They just created a new word. You're preordestined. Whatever. Anyway, I'm sorry. But the bottom line is you're predestined. You're foreordained by the Lord. But God still says you have to make the final call. You have to make the final choice. Remember we talked about the wedding and how that worked with the bride and the groom in the Jewish weddings. It was all planned before they were ever sometimes even born. The father chose who the bride would be and worked with the family, and they worked out the details. That was part of the Jewish culture. But they left the final choice up to the bride on the wedding day, and the bride was allowed, although it was preordained, the bride was allowed to say no on the wedding day and walk away. And I don't think you can see a more beautiful picture of what God has done with us. We're preordained in Christ, but you as his bride, he's not going to force you into the kingdom. You've got to choose that. But again, you've been chosen before time, and the only way out now is rejecting. So we see both again taught in the Bible and borne out through this verse where he says this, you've been chosen from the beginning. Notice, here's why, chosen for salvation. Here's how. Number one, God's part, through sanctification by the Spirit. God does that. You can't sanctify yourself. Sanctify means become more like Christ. Only God can do that. But here's your part. Notice he says, after that, by the Spirit, you've been sanctified. And here's your part, belief in the truth. You have to believe. Now, let me say this. It's not enough to believe. You have to receive. And this is where a lot of people fall short of the kingdom of God. I'm going to say a shocking statement, then I'm going to give you the backing for it scripturally. There are going to be a lot of believers that don't make it into heaven. How is that possible, Mark? Because the Bible says that even the demons believe, but there's not going to be a single demon in heaven. As a matter of fact, demons are strong believers. The Bible says they've seen God. They know who Jesus Christ is. When the demons talked to Jesus, when he was walking the earth, they said, we know who you are. You know why? He created them. He made them. The Bible says Christ created all things and all people and all beings. So they knew who he was, but they're not going to be in the kingdom of God. What is the difference? And this is where we have to make that choice. Some of you maybe today, you know, we had two or three people give their life to the Lord in the first service. And here's why they made this choice. They believed, but now they said, I'm going to go the next step. I'm going to receive. And receiving means you go to the Lord and say, look, I believe, I've believed maybe for years, maybe since you were a kid you believed, but I'm going to put it into action. I'm going to take the next step and say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And that's your part. You've got to do that. And I'll give you an opportunity to do that before we're done today. But you need to recognize here that there's a two-part process here. The Lord doing his part, us believing. Notice verse 14, to which you were called by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's your future if you should choose to accept it. There's your mission, right? Therefore, brethren, here it is, and the whole point of today, stand fast. I have that underlined. And hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. And notice this, Paul gives some very practical instruction here and some qualifiers of what we're to do and how we're to do it. Number one, he says, stand fast. Now, what does it mean to stand fast? It means stand firm, meaning immovable. You can't be budged. You get the picture of the tropical storm coming in, right? Stand fast. Sometimes you see these guys in these hurricanes, and I don't know why the guys in the Weather Channel why do they feel like they have to stand out in a hurricane? Are they proving something? We're all about to die. Things are flying by. They can cut my head off, but how are you in the studio? You're like, what are you doing? Why are you? I don't know why they do that. Maybe to show that it's real. I believe you. Just tell me there's a hurricane. I'm all in. You don't have to stand out there to pray. Anyway, I think they like it, but either way, whatever the case might be. But here's the thing. When it comes to the headwinds of the storm, listen, a tropical storm, it's not going to blow you away. You stand there. And even some hurricanes won't. It's only those that take you away. He's saying, you've got to plant your feet firmly. God's not going to give you a storm big enough to blow you away as a believer if you plant your feet on Christ. You plant your feet on the rock. You believe in him and stand firmly in him. And so we plant ourselves there. It means you don't move from it. Once you're planted there, you don't move, regardless of even the societal pressures that are around you. And again, there's a lot of societal pressures around us today to move. But we stand firm. Secondly, notice he tells them, when you're standing firm, stand firm in this. Stand firm and hold the traditions that you were taught by word or by letter. Now, note this. It's not just any traditions you're to stand firm in. There's a lot of traditions in Christianity and religion that aren't good. They shouldn't be followed. They're bad traditions. He qualifies the good ones. He says here, it's those that, again, have been passed down by word, that is God's word, or by our epistle, that is letter from the apostles. So it needs to be something that God has given. A lot of people talk about different sacraments or things the church is supposed to do. That's all that means, really. And the only ones that the Lord gave us in Scripture is communion and baptism. Those are the only two we've been given. Now, there are some traditions that aren't bad. There's nothing wrong in that. But he says here, make sure that you stand on the traditions, but make sure they're based in the word of God, or you know, which really was at that time, the word of God and the letters he was writing, because God was writing through him the word of God at that time. I don't know how much Paul knew that, but the point is God was doing it. And he says, now, verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now notice he's going to emphasize comfort here, not only in the word comfort, but also in the word consolation, which means comfort. And again, because of the persecution they were under, they needed to be comforted. And you know what? We need to be comforted today, don't we? To know that the Lord's in control, that the Lord's running the show. And notice first he talks about, to give us that comfort, that the Lord loved us. And because he loved us and loves us, he's given everlasting consolation. That's everlasting comfort. That's what it means. And how? By the good hope of his grace. We hope in the grace of God, and God meets us in that grace. You know, I talked about seeing four different families that had believers go to the Lord this past couple of months. Every one of those families, as I spent time with them, the grace is unbelievable. The grace, I mean, people can say to me, I've seen people before that you think, man, if somebody that they love dies, they're going to totally fall apart. They're not going to be able to handle it because that seems to be the way they live their life. And then all of a sudden you see a loved one die and they're like the strongest one in the family. Like, where did this power come from? And I watched all these families, these beautiful believers going through this process of missing someone they love, but knowing they're in the kingdom. And yes, there's tears and yes, there's sorrow, but there's a power there. It's the grace of God. You know, when I was a kid growing up, grace was just a word. The grace of God. The grace of God is a power that comes upon you. He gives you power when someone that you love passes on or whenever you go through a situation. And God gives us power to go through what we're going through today. And it's the hope in that power. And Paul says here, God has given us that hope. And he says, you know, he's loved us, so he's given us that hope and grace. And why? That we might be established. Note this, in every good word and work, he says there in verse 17. And that's important because it's not just the word of God, but it's what we're doing for God. Now, we don't do things for God to earn anything. We know that. You're not going to do good works to get to heaven. It was paid for on the cross. But if you know the Lord, having faith in his word is great, but your faith should be proven by your service of the Lord. Guys, listen, I know that everybody has busy schedules. I get that. We all do. But the days of the Lord's return, I think, are upon us. And even if those days aren't upon us like I think they are, we're not going to live this long in these bodies. Here's the bottom line. Look at your life right now. Ask yourself, okay, I'm taking care of my family. I'm doing all this. Am I serving the Lord? Now, let me say a disclaimer to the moms. You got little kids? You're serving the Lord. That's serving the Lord. Doesn't mean you couldn't do something else if you had time and you wanted to. But the Bible says that we're to train up our children the way they should go, and that's the primary responsibility. The mom does that. You are serving the Lord. So don't think that because you're not serving somewhere, you aren't serving the Lord if you've got little kids. Again, it's between you and the Lord what time you have and what strength you have to do beyond that. But apart from that, we need to challenge ourselves. What am I doing with my life? How am I conducting myself? You know, I spent the first years of my life not knowing the Lord and living completely for me. I still struggle with living for me a lot now, quite honestly. But I want to live with what I have left for the Lord. In every good word, that is believing his word, but also in every good work, serving God. Are we serving? I know there's times of rest. I know there's times of breaks. God gives that. Enjoy that. God knows where you are and you know where you are. This is not to lay a trip on you. But when I look around and I see what's happening in the world and watch what's coming upon us, let me ask you this. How much longer are you going to be free to share Jesus Christ? Mark, this is America. Yeah? How much longer? How much longer? Is this the same America that you knew 50 years ago? Those of you that are over 50, is this the same America? Not even close. Is this the same America 30 years ago? Same America 20 years ago? It's changing rapidly. How long are we going to be free to do this? You know, I was thinking this morning, some of these pastors out in California, they're shutting their church, they're putting fines on them. We got a pastor out in California, a Calvary pastor. So far, he's run up a tab of $200,000 because they're meeting. What if they did that here? What if they started charging us per service? It could happen. It could happen, right? And then what happens? Oh, the church goes, listen, we'll keep going till we run out of money and God closes the doors. And then you know what happens? We keep going somewhere else, be it a park, be it homes. This isn't the church. This is not the church. I'm thankful for this. It's pretty cool. It's a building. You're the church. You're his flock. He loves you. We love you. And so we're going to hold on together. We're going to stand fast in Christ regardless of what happens. I'm not going to panic about that. I'm not going to worry about that. That's in God's hands. But the bottom line is that we need to be, again, knowing how to stand fast because God loved us and God will give us the grace to do that. And we need to be about the Father's business. I encourage you, challenge your heart. How am I serving the Lord? How much longer will I be able to serve the Lord? I don't know what the answer to that is, but I think now's the time to get busy and to be doing the Father's work, so to speak. And so we have to be obedient in faith to God's word and also the service. And notice again, the everlasting consolation. It's not just comfort now. It's going to be eternal comfort, eternal consolation that God gives us as we follow him and we serve him in that hope of the grace of God. So comfort your hearts, he says in this. And notice he'll comfort our hearts and he'll establish our hearts in every good word and work. And then he says, again, chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us. I love Paul wasn't afraid to ask for prayer. I'm going to pray for me. But pray for the church, and not just Calvary Chapel, pray for the church. Pastors need prayer. The church needs prayer right now. We need to stand. Paul wasn't afraid to ask for prayer, and I love it when you know people tell me I'm praying for him. I'm like, go for it. Keep praying for me. I'll take all I can get. I remember hearing about Charles Spurgeon one time. And said Charles Spurgeon was a very famous pastor about 120 years ago or whatever, late 1800s. Charles Spurgeon had the largest church in the world at that time. We have a lot of churches that have thousands of people now. Okay, that's not that uncommon. Back then, you didn't have that. You had churches of 20, 30, 40, 50. If you got up to 100 or beyond that, it was like a giant church. You had a church of anywhere between 4,000 and 7,000. Okay, massive. And this is before a speaker system. Okay, so this guy must have had some amazing pipes, right? And the cathedral, they said, was just astounding. It was awesome. And pastors and others would come from all over the world to see this amazing work. And then when they would see the building, how in the world do you manage this building? He said, a group of pastors came once, according to what Charles Spurgeon said, and they were interested in how do you heat this thing? How in the world, what's the power system you use to heat this during the winter? It gets really cold and all the, what do you do? He said, follow me and I'll show you. Took him to the basement, opened the door, and there were several hundred people down there praying because it was between services. He said, there's the power. For our chapel right there, for our church. There's the power. Guys, it comes through prayer. I'll take all the prayer you want to give. This church will take all the prayer you want to give. And the Church of America needs all the prayer we can give because we need power in the days in which we're living. That's what's going to change lives. And he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord, here's why, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. That is, don't let anything hinder God's word from moving forward and be glorified. That is, God's word being glorified just as it is with you. You guys are receiving it. You guys are moving fast with it. We want everyone to move fast with it. And by the way, you can't chain the word of God. You can't do it. You can say you're going to shut the churches down. You can hinder believers coming together, but God's word is going to break out. God's word is powerful. You can't block it. And he says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. So pray for again that the word goes swiftly and that God protects us from unreasonable and wicked men. And again, interesting here, that's a great prayer. If you pray for me, pray that God would deliver me from wicked and unreasonable men. Wicked here speaks of hostile power that seeks to enslave or control you. That could be a governmental type thing, or it could be on a local level. The bottom line is, it's just they want to come in and they want to give you a hard time. Unreasonable means this: improper, unrighteous, inconvenient, and harmful. Wicked means bad, useless, of little worth, harmful, ill-natured, dangerous, especially describing the actions that violate the laws of humankind. And again, with Paul having the rulers of Rome in that day and the kind of horrible things they were doing to the believers, it was violating the laws of humankind. And he's saying, pray that God will deliver us from these people. And I think even today, we need to be delivered from those who really just simply because you walk with God, they hate you. And so we need to be delivered from that. That's a great prayer to pray. And Paul says, pray for that. God's word going forward in protection. He says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. That is, God will establish you and protect you from Satan and the demonic realm. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things that we command you. Note this, he says, we know that you are doing what we've instructed you, and we know that you will do what we instruct you to do. Paul was showing his trust in their obedience, but also giving them encouragement and incentive to continue to follow through. You know, I guess it depends on how you do it. The girls used to kind of get bothered at me sometimes growing up because I'd say, guys, I need you to clean up the bathroom and I know you're going to do it, so I'm going to say in advance, thank you. They hated that. Like, you just said that because you whatever, you know, whatever this. But Paul's kind of doing that here. Paul's kind of doing that. Paul's saying, you know what? I know you guys are obeying and I want to say, I know you will in the future. So keep it up. Again, I think sometimes that incentive can be a good thing. Maybe not in a dad way, but in a Paul way here, I think it can be a very good incentive. And he says, God will guard you and do all this, and we have confidence you're going to do what's right. He says, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. And since you're doing this, again, the patience of Christ, we know you're going to continue to do it. And now we want you to stay in the love of the Lord, that he'll direct your hearts, again, further into God's love and further into the patience of Christ. And who doesn't need to be further directed into the love of the Lord and into the patience of Christ? Because we need to be patient in the days in which we live. You know, as we finish this today, this passage, guys, here's the question I want to ask you. Are you standing firm? Are you standing firm? Listen. Here's one of the keys to conquering temptation. And I want to say this, especially to you ladies. If you're single and you're with some guy who's going to come on to you, and maybe you hadn't really thought that he was going to, and maybe you're trying to keep yourself pure, and suddenly he's not really wanting you to keep yourself pure, and he's coming on to you in a real strong way. Listen to me, and I've heard this over and over over the years from young ladies. If you haven't made a plan in advance of how you're going to get out of it, you may not. What that means is you got to make your mind. If he does this, I punch him there. You know? You're dating two guys, Bob and Weave. But the point is, you better be prepared. And that is, no, I'm not going there. I'm sorry. My mind's made up. Because what happens is there can be a moment of weakness. Now, I use that example to say, this is how it's going to be in the last days. A lot of the church is going to be caught off guard. They're not preparing to stand. And if you don't have your footing in place, the word of God, prayer, regular fellowship, standing, then when the storm hits, you're going to be knocked down. So now's the time to prepare. Don't wait to prepare. Oh, when it gets here, then I'll get ready. If you don't board up your windows before the storm arrives, they're going to be blown out. You better start boarding up windows now. You better start buying supplies now, especially toilet paper. We need to be spiritually ready. So my question is, are you ready? Now here's the good news. If you're not ready, you still have time. You can get ready right now. For the believer, start getting ready. Get in the word, get in prayer, get prepared. Man, I'm not talking about supplies at home. That's fine to some degree. I'm talking about getting spiritually ready. But for those of you who don't know the Lord, you're not ready at all. And not only are you not going to be able to stand, you're going to be swept away by the storm and drowned by the enemy in the last days. And he's going to take you down and take advantage of you. And again, if you don't make a decision for Christ, it's an eternal decision. It's an eternal storm that doesn't end. So here's my appeal as we finish, and I'm going to give you a chance to pray. Make a decision today. As believers, let's pray to make a decision to start doing what's necessary to stand. And secondly, if you've not made the decision for Christ, to make a decision this morning so you're ready to stand when the storm comes. Let's pray and give God a chance to do that. Father, I want to thank you again for speaking to us this morning by your Holy Spirit and telling us we need to stand and we need to be ready to stand. And I want to pray for us, those of us in here that know you right now, God, if we're not doing what's necessary to stand, let us commit to do it today. To get into your word daily, to get into prayer daily, to be in regular fellowship as we feel the headwinds of the hurricane touching land. God, the true storm has not hit yet. And I thank you for those of us that know you, we will not go through the true storm. But God, we need to be ready for the headwinds. We need to be prepared. So let us make that commitment today. And if that's you, I encourage you, begin to pray to the Lord right now. Have him show you, Lord, what do I need to do to be ready to stand? And we know the answer is the word in prayer. But how do I make that happen with the way I'm living now? So let God minister to you in that. But I want to make an appeal to any of you this morning if you don't know the Lord. It may be for the first time God's opened your eyes and God is saying to you, you know what? Today's your day. I'm calling you to my kingdom. Father, I just pray you begin to move in hearts of any here that don't know you and you draw them into you. I want to give you an opportunity right now. I don't do this that often. Maybe everyone in here knows the Lord. That would be fantastic. But there may be some of you who don't. And for the first time, God is saying, it's time. I've been calling you. It's time now for you to acknowledge me and to invite me into your heart. And if that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I want you to pray this prayer with me to give your life to the Lord. I want to give you that opportunity to do that. Father, I pray you'd move in all the hearts. Anybody in here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you, that right now they'd make that decision. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, I know that I am a sinner. And I believe that you died for me on the cross. I'm ready now to move from believing to receiving. Thank you for your blood. Lord, will you forgive me? Cleanse me, Lord. Wash me clean by your sacrifice. I give my life to you. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Father, again, I thank you for the work of your Spirit this morning and for bringing more into the kingdom. Lord, I think about that heavenly table set up for the wedding feast and the announcement being made, okay, put a couple more plates down with a couple more name tags, for more have joined the table this morning. God, thank you for the work of your Spirit in doing that, and we give you all the glory. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.